Lisa, that was just awesome. And I sat there nervous to get up here and speak today until Lisa started to speak. And I got excited because I realized God had a plan today. He spoke through Lisa, and I realized, she said, God will find a way when there seems to be no way. And I thought that's the perfect transition of talking about hope, which is my part today. And I told Susan, I said, I kind of feel like faith, hope, and love all kind of are a part of our story. To give you a little bit of history, my husband and I were married in 1992, and we lived in Ohio most of our married life. We moved to Birmingham, Alabama 3 years ago, and at the time, we felt in our hearts like God was calling us to move. Mark had gotten a job here, and we moved, and about 3 months after we moved, Mark lost his job. And so we were like, well, maybe we missed it. You know, did we really know that this is where God was calling us? And so after much prayer, and God supplied another job for Mark, and he's doing very well in that. And in the process of all of that, we kind of came to the conclusion that we believed God had moved us to Alabama for this church. Because people don't move states to go to a different church. And so we thought, you know, God moved us here because this is where he knew we needed to be. We needed to be in this church with friends that loved and supported us, friends that felt like they were friends for a lifetime. I don't think we've had better friends that we've known for years as good as the friends that we have here, and we've only been here 3 years. Well, on September 4th, in the evening, about 10 o'clock at night, Mark said, Tanya, I need to read you an email that we had gotten from our Sunday school class. We're in the Henson Garnett Sunday school class, and the email read, please pray for a little boy named Lonnie who's been burned in an abusive situation, and they're interested in placing him out of the state of Mississippi, and it gave a name and number to call. Well, Mark read the email, and the girls and I were there, and Mark and I looked at each other and knew at that moment that God was calling us to something for this little boy, but we didn't know what. So at 10 o'clock at night, I picked up the phone and I called the number. And it was a pastor who answered the phone. And to this day, I've never met him, seen him, and I don't even know where he lives. But I know he doesn't live here in Birmingham. And from what I understand, he was kind of a go-between between the courts in Mississippi and Lonnie, who was here at Children's Hospital. So I called and I said, we're praying for this little boy. I got an email prayer request. Is there anything we can do? And he said, no, you can just continue to pray, but they are not optimistic that he's going to pull through. And he wouldn't give me much information, but he just said that he had acquired an infection and things were really bad. So he told me if I wanted to call back the next week and check that he would be happy to let me know anything he had found out. So for about 2.5 weeks, we continued to call this pastor every few days and check on little Lonnie. And in the process, every night we would sit beside the bed and pray for him. And so for two more weekends, he said he's not expected to pull through the weekend. And then I would call at the beginning of the week, and he had pulled through the weekend. So finally, I said, I said to my husband, I said, Mark, who is with this little boy if he's from Mississippi? And he was burned by his mother. And so he said, I don't know, but why don't you ask him if you could visit? So I called the pastor, and he just basically said no. I mean, there's security because of the nature of the case, and no one is allowed to visit. And I was so saddened by that. I thought, he's 3 years old laying in a hospital bed, hours from anything he knew, by himself. And I thank God for the hospital staff that loved him and cared for him. But it seemed like there needed to be something, someone consistent for him that could see him every day. So the pastor, who was very, very kind, he didn't have an answer as to any way we could see him, so we stopped calling him. And we started trying to find other ways. And so I ended up calling the chaplain at the hospital. She did not know anything about him, but she gave me the social worker over the burn unit. She said, you can call her and see if you can find out any information. So I called the social worker over the burn unit, who has become a sweet friend of mine. And I explained to her who I was and told her that I lived in Birmingham and I was interested in visiting Lonnie. And she said, that would be great. No one comes. But she said, I can't approve you. It has to be his social worker in Mississippi. So she gave me her name and number. So this was a couple weeks of making like 50 phone calls a day and not getting anyone. And no one calls you back. And it was just, and Mark would call me like 5 or 6 times a day. Did you call? Well, who'd you get? Well, call again. And I'm like, I'm trying. So anyway, I finally got his social worker in Mississippi. And I will never forget the conversation. I said, I received an email prayer request for Lonnie. And I'm just a mom who lives in Birmingham. And I would like to go visit him. And I'll go every day. And she did not know me, had never spoken to me. And she said, that would be great. I have no one. So after about a week of getting paperwork signed and going to the police department so they knew I didn't have a record and things like that, she called me and she said, you can go to the hospital, meet with Catherine Hughes, and she'll take you in to see Lonnie. So on October 16th, I walked into little Lonnie's room for the very first time. And he was laying there in a hospital bed. And he didn't look 3. He looked about 18 months old. He was very tiny. He was all covered up. And he was sound asleep. And I just put my hand on his little hand and rubbed it. And she, the social worker, stood there and explained to me the situation and what had happened and what had gone on. And then I talked to some of the nurses. And I left that day. And he was asleep and never knew I had been there. And so just to give you kind of the situation that had happened, he, and the details of it are sketchy still. No one is in jail for this at this time, but he was scalded in a bathtub. And as a result, it was... hours went by before he was taken to the hospital. So by the time he got there, his little skin was falling off his body, and they then transported him 5 hours to Birmingham. And he got an infection because the burns were so bad. His system was so compromised. And basically, he got the flesh-eating infection that just starts eating away at your body. Well, so he... had no bottom anymore. It had just eaten away. It had damaged his organs and had rotted some of his spine. And it is an absolute miracle that Lonnie lived. And the doctor said to me, people do not survive this kind of infection, let alone it being in the core of their body and him being so small anyway. So, I went back to visit on the second day, and Lonnie was laying on his tummy, and he was awake, and I walked in and started talking to him, and I asked him if he wanted me to sing him a song, and he nodded his head yes. So I sang him Jesus Loves Me, and we played Cars and played peekaboo, but he would never smile and never laugh, and he never said a word. He would just nod his head yes or no. So I got ready to leave that day, and I told him that I would be back tomorrow, but I was going to go bye-bye, which I learned never to say those words again, because he began to scream and cry, grabbed a hold of my shirt, and wouldn't let go. And the nurses came walking in, and they were like, why is he crying? I'm like, well, I'm getting ready to leave. This is only the second day I've even ever seen him, and he had only met me that day. And so she said, well, that's okay, Lonnie. She'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be here with you. And he took her hand and pushed her away and grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't let go. And so that was on a Friday, and I went home, and Mark and I were talking, and I was sitting on the sofa watching TV, and all of a sudden, God brought back to my memory a dream that I had had before we ever moved to Birmingham. And this has not ever happened to me before, so it's not like the kind of thing where I have visions or dreams or anything like that. And it just completely freaked me out. I jumped off the sofa and screamed. And Mark was like, what is wrong with you? You're scaring me. And I said, please tell me you remember me telling you about this dream that I had when we still lived in Ohio. It was about 3 years before, and Lonnie was 3 years old. We had no plans of moving to Birmingham 3 years before this happened. And he sat there, and as I told him the dream, like I had had it yesterday, I remembered it so vividly. But up until this day, I hadn't even thought of it in years. And he said, I remember. And I had, at the time, it was so strange that I had told my Bible study leader, and I had told my mom, and I remember my Bible study leader saying, Tanya, I don't know what that could mean, but hide it away in your heart, and maybe one day God will reveal it. And I remember her saying that. And I remembered the dream. I was, anytime you have a dream about Jesus, you have a tendency to tell people and you remember it. And I had a dream that I was walking through floodwaters, and I still don't know what all of it means, but I do know what some of it does. And there were people all around us walking towards Jesus, and he was above the water, and I couldn't see his face, but I knew it was him, and I could see, you know, like the bottom of his garment. And in my arms, I was carrying a little boy, and he was black. And he was little, and I remember looking at him and telling him, don't be afraid, because we're going to be with Jesus soon. Well, when I woke up, I was like, what in the world was that all about? And so I thought it was so strange that I told my husband and my mom, my Bible study leader, well, God brings that dream back to my memory after I had visited Lonnie 2 days. And it was confirmation to me that God had a plan from way before I ever even knew about this little boy. He wasn't, I mean, when he was born, God planned for Lonnie to be our son. And so at the time, I still continued to say, I need to keep my eyes focused on God, and we need to continue to pray that God will use us in whatever way it might be. And it might just be me visiting him. He needs someone to love him every day and to hold him and to care for him. And then that might be it. But in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And we began to see God's purpose unfolding. So we began to talk to the social workers about being his foster parents. On November 14th, Mark went with me for the first time, and he started visiting more on weekends when he wasn't working, and I would still continue to go every day. And there were good days and bad days. Lonnie was very, very sick. He never ate. He was on TPN nutritional fluids, and he really never got out of bed. And when I would go, he would just want me to rock. So I would pick him up and hold him and rock him and sing to him. And he still didn't smile and didn't really laugh much. Every once in a while, he'd just get a hint of a smile. Well, I continued to write everything down every day when I would go. And I remember in December thinking, I need to get, it was just on pieces of paper here and there, and I would have them. And I remember thinking, I've got to get a journal to put this in. Well, for Christmas, Heather Henson, my sweet little ninth grader that was in my Sunday school class, she gave me a Christmas gift, and it was a journal. And so I opened it up, and the first verse on the bottom of the first page was, I have summoned you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. And I knew this little journal was for Lonnie, and that was Lonnie's verse. So I began to write and kept a journal. In the middle of December, the doctors came and talked to us, which was a huge blessing, because a lot of times they have to be very careful what they say to anybody because of HIPAA violations and all of that. But they did share with us things, and I remember he went into surgery on December 16th, and they were telling us that they were going to have to clean out his spine, or he would run the risk of getting spinal meningitis, and probably as a result, Lonnie would never have feeling in his legs and would never walk again. So he went into surgery, and when he came out, that was the case. So we still continued to, I still continued to go every day. In January, they allowed the girls to start coming. So they would come on the weekends when Mark would come, and we would all, by now, Lonnie, once he had the surgery, he was actually feeling better. And he was up, and they were taking him down to the gym for physical therapy. So when we would go, we would walk on, around the hospital and do things like that with him as a family. And so finally, after 8 months of Lonnie being in the hospital, the doctor came and said that she was thinking he could go home. He still hadn't had the surgery to close up his wound on his little bottom. And she said, I think we'll just send him home this way if you can take care of it, and then see how he heals and do the surgery in a few months. So there were some pretty scary days right before Lonnie coming home, just the unexpected. And this little boy was coming to our house. He knew us well. He had started to call me Mama in the hospital. And there was a picture of us on the wall. And when the nurses would change his colostomy bag or anything like that, and he would cry, he would point at my picture and say, Mama. No one called me Mama. We called me Tanya. The nurses called me Tanya. But he called me Mom. And so We were a little fearful of the unexpected, and God continued to bring this verse back to me that he's given me over and over and over through the years, and I know you know it. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. And we even had some people very close to us, actually family members, that had said, I don't really know that you know what you're getting into, and are you sure this is the right thing for your family? And we continued to say, we knew God had called us to this. And when he calls you, he equips you. So I'm not going to be afraid, and it's all going to be okay. Yeah, we're going to have hard days, and we're going to have some times of struggle, but it's going to be okay. So on May 20th, Lonnie came home. And it has been another miracle, because Lonnie comes home to a new family, and he acted like he had lived there his whole life. We had taken him pictures of his room that we had gotten all set up, so he knew his room when he got to it, and he would point at himself. And so he went to bed that night, and I was kind of like, I wonder, you know, if he's going to be afraid, or, He never woke up, slept through the night. I woke up and kept going in to check on him, but he was sleeping. And in the morning, I was in the bathroom and I heard, "Mama." And I go walking in and he's just laying there playing in his bed. And we have two beautiful daughters, Whitney, who's 14, and Madison, who's 10. And throughout the whole process, even at the beginning, it was so sweet to hear them pray for him. But as we began to talk and start foster parenting classes, they would say, "Mom, this is what God has called us to as well." And it had to be a team effort. I mean, we all had to be on board. And so it's amazing the opportunities that God, this is our little miracle. This is Lonnie. Can you say hi? And this is Whitney and Madison, our girls. And but anyway, it's been amazing to see the opportunities, just like Lisa said, the opportunities of us being able to share Jesus because of the story. People will ask, even in the hospital, nurses would say, "How did you find out about him?" And I'm like, "God sent us an email." I still, and he did, because I still do not know where the email originated. I know that Candy Hughes worked at Sanford and she got the email, but I don't know where it came from to you. How did she get it? Okay, from the pastor who knew. I mean, it's just bizarre. It was not by accident, that's for sure. But I just, we are so excited to see what God is going to continue to do in Lonnie's life and how he's going to use this in the lives of Whitney and Madison and Mark and I. We have been forever changed because God chose to call us and we chose to answer. And it is so humbling to me to think that God would have enough confidence to call us as a family. I mean, when I think back about the stuff that we've been through, and it just goes to show, God takes all the stuff and he works it out every day and then takes us to a different place. And I pray every day that his name would be glorified through this. I'm so thankful that we have a hope in an amazing God that works in ways that we would have never thought possible.